Okay, so we're in the series Living Into This Challenging Christian Life with Jesus, and I'm in the message number 7, if I can get it out. Message number 7, and I've entitled this one, Father's Gracious New Covenant Warnings and Exhortations. Father's Gracious New Covenant Warnings and Exhortations. So let me pray. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory and blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. This is something that you must do and only you can do. Flow, river, flow. I think of the river as you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, remembering you're the one God, working and acting as one. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. And right now we ask that you, in a particular way that you do, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light that we may see and follow and trust you. And that we may also, in this dark world, leave the darkness behind and live into the light. You've done this already for us, Jesus, so we can do it with hope. And we appreciate that you send the Spirit so that we're actually empowered to glorify the Father, even beginning now. Forgiven sinners that we are, in such a way that we reflect you in this earth, and many people can be turned to you and be your disciples and sons and daughters also. It's in Jesus' name, Father, that we glorify you and pray. Amen. Amen. And so God, Father, Son, and Spirit, his fingerprints are on everything. The scriptures say that he made everything that is, that without him was not anything made that was made. And I was reading something this week that just kept pressing and emphasizing this in my mind. So I'd like to let you learn what I learned. I learned something fascinating recently about God's fingerprints, not only upon the sun, moon, and stars, and you and me, but upon the animals. And I learned why there are no dead penguins on the ice in Antarctica. It's interesting. Where do they all go? Now we have to wonder no more. It's a known fact that the penguin is a very ritualistic bird and lives an extremely ordered and complex life. Penguins are extremely committed to their family and will mate for life, as well as maintain a form of compassionate contact with their offspring throughout the remainder of their life. If a penguin is found dead on the ice surface, other members of the family and their social circle have been known to dig holes in the ice, using only their vestigial wings and beaks until the hole is deep enough for the dead bird to be rolled into and buried. After packing the ice back in the hole, the male penguins then gather in a circle around the fresh grave and sing, "Freeze a jolly good fellow, freeze a jolly good fellow, freeze a jolly good fellow." A joker you can't deny. I got you, didn't I? How you were drawn in by the fabulous language. And I got you smiling before we continue on with our spanking. I'm kidding. I'm keeping you smiling again. Because after all, we're talking about the Lord's warning and exhortations. I haven't made any equivocation about that. But I want to say to you, in the light of that, the Lord has touched penguins, and they are complex creatures, and so much of what I just read is true. But the special thing, the thing we must really pay attention to, is that we human beings especially have God's fingerprints upon us, being made in the image of Jesus Christ. And so we have a destiny far above all created things. If you ever look at created things and learn about them, it blows your mind. And what you're supposed to learn by that and be pointed away from is be pointed to what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. If what he done for the animals is inexpressible, then think about what he's done for you. How little we know of that, and how little we can really express the glory that is going to be ours, that in some way in Christ already is ours. So that we really are right now, even through much suffering and hardships, members of the kingdom, of the rule and reign of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Above all things in creation, When you look at human beings or you look at yourself in the mirror, you see, as you can see in no other way, the greatest glory and reflection of God within creation. A reflection of the invisible God, made in a manifest invisible way, who made all things and makes all things new in Christ by His Spirit. So even when you see yourself in the mirror, and I mean not just the mirror that you might see on the wall, but I mean the mirror of your own perceptions, who you actually sometimes think you are, who you're told that you are by other people and sources, you're to point, be pointed away from that and to look at Christ. And to remember that even though it may look bad now, all things have been made new in Christ. And that includes you. So you need to look through whatever you see and look to Christ. And that's basically what the writer of Hebrews is saying. So we're in Hebrews chapter 12, and let's get right in here so I can get this message proclaimed to you today, this message of the gospel. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to begin in verse 14. These are verses I've been looking at the past two times that I've preached. So I'll point out some things for us to further notice that are important for us, even as we live in the grace of the triune God. Verse 14 through 17, let me read those first. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God. And now let me read it again and emphasize some words here. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Pursue holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. And make sure that there isn't any immoral or irreverent person like Esau, who sold his birthright in exchange for a single meal. For you know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, even though he sought it with tears, because he didn't find any opportunity for repentance. So one thing we're to notice, even under grace, is we're to notice the language of effort in God's rest. Now in Hebrews chapter 4, if you're familiar with this book, and I know that many of you are, he says there still remains a rest, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So there's a rest beside the physical Sabbath, which is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And this rest we now know is Jesus. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. So he's told us about our Sabbath, and we've come to chapter 12 here knowing that our rest is in Christ. But notice the language of effort in God's rest. Make every effort. See to it. See that no one is blah, blah, blah. So as we read these scriptures and we look back on it, we see that there is an effort, but we're not to think of self-effort anymore. But now we're to think of a new effort, effort that flows from the life of new creation, that the Holy Spirit has actually been given to us, that we are actually empowered to participate with Christ in the way he lives now. In his glorious way. So we make every effort. We see to it. We see that no one is. And why does he say that? He says that no one, see to it that no one is sexually immoral or irreverent like Esau. Well, it's simply, again, look away from your own efforts right now. This is not about you in the first instance. It's about you in the second instance. The first instance, this is about Jesus, who made every effort, who saw to it, who saw that no one is in these broken ways, because he took on the humanity that all take on. So he has substituted for you. He's replaced those areas in which we're broken. Let's look in chapter 12 and verse 3. Let's look back, because he's writing in this context. So he says to us, let's see here. For consider him, Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. So you're supposed to look back at Christ and see that the power you now have to make these efforts is not a self-effort, but it's effort given to you graciously by God and Jesus Christ. That the command God gives us to do this has actually been given to us by God so that it is possible. And we remember in the light of what he said here, because Esau, he said, was hungry for a meal, hungry for bread, but traded his whole birthright away for a single meal. And we should look back and remember Jesus Christ and the spirit he gives us now to live as he did. And what did he say when he was fighting the devil? The devil fought him on this same point over food, over a single meal, to betray God and betray his glorious human life. And he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So remember, in grace, the language of effort that we give in God's rest by his grace. I think another thing to be said, and one of the things the Father's trying to teach us in this series, is that Christ came not only to deliver us from the guilt of sin, and this is where we have been for so long, and it's important, and we remain there. He's delivered us from the guilt of sin. We no longer have to stay in the guilt of sin because the deliverance was full and free. But God is not just interested that you're delivered from the guilt of sin. He's interested in you being delivered from the power of sin. For what good is it to be delivered from the guilt if you're not delivered from the power? All that would mean, literally, is that you're a psychopath. Psychopaths are delivered from a conscience and delivered from guilt. So they continue to kill and ravage and rape, and now they don't have any guilt about it. Are y'all with me here, church? Okay, so Christ is saying to us, yes, you're free of the guilt. Run free there. But now live in the power. Don't just have a form. You don't just have a form of my godliness. I put my full self into your full self. You have power now to live out life with my son in the spirit. So, of course, it's still true that if we say we have no sin, we are liars. We have to take that serious. If we say we don't have any, even as forgiven sinners, we are liars. But the other thing we can say in the light of the wholeness of Scripture is that if we continue in sin without Jesus' struggle, and we continue in sin without Jesus' obedience, we are also liars, because we received his spirit by which we now reckon ourselves dead in trespasses and sins. And this reckoning, I say, because you have his spirit, comes with power to live life anew now. Come, taste and see. It's a taste, but it's a taste. Taste and see that I really am good. I really do live with you now, despite the darkness that still remains. I think another thing that we should get out of what's being said in these particular verses is, so what do we do when we yet sin, and we all do still sin, as forgiven sinners? What do we do? Is there any instruction as to how we live in that tension of sinning and yet being forgiven sinners? And the answer is yes, because the Apostle John followed up with the words that we should probably have in memory. We confess our sins, because he's what? Faithful and what? And just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, yeah, you got it in you. That's right. Now it's got to get out of you. It's in you. Now it's got to get out. So that's what, there is a twofold way to God's ways of doing things. I remember Dr. Stephen Covey, who I used to learn under a lot. He said, there are always two creations. There's the creation of God's mind, is what I'm going to say to you. He said there's always a creation of the mind, always two creations. You create it first in your mind, or you create it first on paper, such as an architecture for building your home. And then you actually hire the contracting company and build the home. God had in his mind Jesus Christ and our being in his image, and then he had that in his mind actually being lived out, because Jesus actually did live it out. And then he actually did send us the Spirit so that we truly are, right now, renewed. Who will deliver me? But I thank God from the body of this death, but I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So here's what, one thing for us to learn more deeply and receive now. I think we should be able to receive this now. And one thing for us to remember as we disciple others, because what you're learning today, what we're learning here, is not just about you learning it for yourself. It's so that you can take it out. So let me give you something else you can take out to other people with regard to the dynamics we're talking about here. Here's a gracious warning, an exhortation from the Father that you should not only receive but pass on to others. You get all the time you need to respond to God, but you don't get all the time you want. Think about that. It's starting to settle in now, isn't it? You get all the time you need from God to read. That's why he says, hey, I haven't come back yet. I'm giving you time. He actually uses that word. I'm giving you space and time because I want all to repent and be ready to meet me. You know, be ready to enjoy this life. But you don't get all the time you want. And if you ever want to wrestle with that, that's easy. Just go to the devil in a sense. Can you imagine if the devil got all the time he wanted? That would mean Jesus would never return. That would mean the great, glorious life we're looking for would never happen. So there you do have a time limit. I can't put it upon you. You can't put it upon me. Y'all with me? We can't judge that for any one person or not. But what we can do is receive that we do have a space and time, and that's all we have, is a space of time. And God knows when, and only he knows, but we don't get all the time we want. So we need to step back from an attitude that would be too lax and say, well, you know, he'll take care of things, and not put forth by his grace in the Spirit this effort, this energy, this seeing to it. And it's so loving and awesome and gracious to be warned, isn't it? Yes, it really is. I've thought about some of the warnings I've heard and said to other people. Don't step over there. There's a hole and you'll trip and break your ankle. Watch your head and duck or you'll hit it. Keep your hands down on this part of the roller coaster. You ever seen signs while you're riding that thing? Keep your hands down. Stay back from that dog poo. You're about to step into my house. Whatever you do, keep the safety on when you're not firing that gun. Now, see, there you go. Right in your ordinary life, the warnings come fast and free and flow, and you see what a blessing they are. This is no different. In fact, exceedingly higher and better with God. Don't be afraid of God's warnings. Honor them, though, just like you honor all other warnings, because damage can take place when they're not honored.